Greetings. This is Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church with a moment of truth where we challenge you to think through an important issue of life and faith. And that issue of life and faith today, I want to continue to pursue with you, how does the Declaration of Independence speak to the necessity of abolishing our present form of government, which has been so destructive of our rights, and instituting a new one, as Thomas Jefferson puts it. Now, over the last few broadcasts, I have dealt with this issue, and we have gone through, point by point, a number of the reasons for dissociating ourselves from England and King George and Parliament of England. And we have been meticulously going through the 29 different particulars that Jefferson listed. There could have been more, but there indeed were at least 29 particulars. And we're going to resonate with those, and we're going to go through the rest of them here as well. But I just want to highlight with you today the necessity of looking at the particulars of the Declaration of Independence to see indeed how they compare to what we're going through here today in the United States of America that they established. Oh, dear listener, if indeed the Declaration of Independence, listing those 29 particulars, if it indeed does define what tyranny is and contrasting it with liberty, then we need to look very closely at the Declaration of Independence, because some of those same 29 particulars apply just as much today with the United Deep States of America, which now tyrannizes over us. Oh, what an eye-opener it was to go through those particulars. I do it from time to time, but I tell you, nothing jumped out at me more reading through it this time than as to how much tyranny we are experiencing now. We live under tyranny. Most Americans are blithely unaware of it, and just as long as they're comfortable, just as long as they're fat and happy, as long as their devices work, as long as their table is filled, they're okay with tyranny, because they're fat and happy. Well, that isn't going to last very long, dear listener, dear brother and sister, because even those things will evaporate. But by then, it'll be too late to reestablish your liberties and freedoms. Now is the time to do it. Don't rely on electing Donald Trump. Don't rely on voting once every 4 years and think that you're entitled to liberty because you do so. No, liberty must be fought for continuously and continually throughout our lifetimes. We must be very vigilant in restricting those tyrants that would impose their tyranny upon us. And that is precisely what's happening now with the deep state. Republican and Democrat are intent upon ruling over you, not serving you, but rather ruling over you, and entitling themselves then to the teat of federal government and federal programs. So many Americans are so content to do precisely the same thing that they do not see their liberties slipping away. Many of them already gone for good, dear listeners. This is why we must resist. That's a popular term, isn't it? Now by the left, but ironically, their resistance to liberty will engulf them in tyranny here in days to come. But let us look to the Declaration of Independence, and then I want you to listen and compare with the situation today, with the situation that obtained back during the period of the Revolution, when our founding fathers declared their independence from King George III and Parliament. Now, we have moved through a number of these different particulars, and let me take up now in the Declaration of Independence with the obstruction of the administration of justice. That's number H in my outline. And it reads, from the Declaration of Independence, he, that is King George III, has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers, unquote. King George III obstructed justice by refusing to establish courts in the colonies. No civilized people can exist without courts to administer justice. It is the prime directive of government. The Bible tells us, and Moses exhorted Israel, justice shalt thou do in the land I am giving you. Justice and only justice shalt thou do, unquote. Now, King George sought to administer justice, quote-unquote, preemptorily, that is, by adjudicating cases himself or through judges appointed by himself, and then often sent overseas to the colonies. And the Americans, on the other hand, were accustomed for centuries prior to King George III, and they were accustomed as colonists to judging matters in colonial courts, which were established by themselves. But now, especially after the French and Indian War, when England tried to recoup all the expenses that they laid out in trying to keep the American colonists under their wing, well, now, under King George, the colonists were forced to have any court they previously or newly established recognized by the crown first before it became operational. And compounding this tyrannical imposition, the passive-aggressive King George refused to recognize the courts that were established by law by the colonial legislatures. Instead, he sought to micromanage his wards. And that's what every tyrant tries to do. There's never enough control that they have over you. They will always want more and more and more until you are micromanaged in your life, dear listener. It's time to throw off this tyrannical band. Yes, well, another particular then from the Declaration of Independence. He, that is King George III, has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. Dear listener, throughout history, one of the most effective methods for gaining and securing power is to buy control and to then buy judges, if you will. Oh, cash captures courts, doesn't it? Cash captures courts. In establishing Israel's system of courts, as she took possession of Canaan, God warned her judges. He said, and I quote from Deuteronomy chapter 16, "You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, and you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous," unquote. Now, our founding fathers knew this by hard experience, and we do too now under the deep state. The judges presiding over colonial courts in our founders' day, they were hand-selected by the king, and they were not only predisposed to favor the crown, but they were also entirely dependent on the king for the renewal of their term of office and the salary which they drew. How partial do you think they would be? This is one reason why our founding fathers built into the Constitution the provision that federal judges are appointed for lifetime terms so that their administration of justice can be free of influence of manipulative executives and legislatures. Oh, yes, dear listener. All right, then we go on with the next particular from the Declaration of Independence. One of the reasons why the colonists freed themselves from England, and one of the reasons, too, why we must free ourselves then from the deep state, the deep states of America. And it was because one of the particulars was he, that is King George, has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and to eat out their substance. Succinctly put, Mr. Jefferson, do you recognize this tactic of tyranny, dear listener? It is the absolute pestilence of locusts and cockroaches. Bureaucrats, but they are locusts and cockroaches, most bureaucrats. It is not new to us in the creaking, groaning vat of vermin that has burst open upon us in the decades of the deep state, right? This has always been the way of tyranny. During the colonial period under George III, the king's maniacal obsession to control caused him to create new offices, as Jefferson puts it. That is, lots of bureaucracies to monitor and regulate the colonists' trade and taxes and guns and churches, militias and press. Oh, every facet of the colonists' life. And that's what's happening to us today in the deep state. Of course, to pay the salaries of all these hundreds of bureaucrats swarming amongst them, the king raised taxes. These bureaucrats, always conscious that their place and their paycheck depended upon bleeding the colonists like leeches. Whoa. They always sided with the king against the colonists, and they kept them under their control as much as possible. And I submit to you, dear listener, nothing has changed. While we were looking at our devices and watching football and building our stock portfolios, well, the deep state has been steadily building a multitude of new offices, as Jefferson puts it. That is, countless useless bureaucracies staffed with numberless useless bureaucrats, who indeed are swarms of officers who harass our people, as Jefferson puts it. Well, these swarms of officers continue to harass the American people, that is, seize our bank accounts, as the IRS does, or confiscate our land, as the Environmental Protection Agency does, or take our children under Child Protective Services or the National Education Administration, or they appropriate our property under RICO statutes, right? Or they silence our voices, the media censorship, or they take away our guns, the myriad gun bills all across the country, like Virginia, or the Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms, right? Or they've strangled and stifled our traditional and natural medicine in favor of Big Pharma, as the Federal Drug Administration does, right? On and on we could go. They could make it difficult or impossible for small family farms to produce or even exist, all in favor of Big Ag, as the Department of Agriculture does. Or they put alternative candidates and measures on the election ballot, right? They refuse to do so, the Federal Election Administration. All of these, I've just given you a long laundry list of the ways the swarms of these new offices, swarms of officers that harass the United States of America and its people, all of these and many more have eaten out our substance, as Jefferson puts it. That is, caused us impossible cost to fight and burdensome cost to finance all of these things. This article alone is reason enough to rebel against our present form of government and institute a new one, as our founder said. Our founding fathers would be impatiently exhorting us, what in the world are you waiting for? You already live under a tyranny worse than we did. And indeed, things have come to this pass. Well, let me give you another reason why the founding fathers saw fit then to separate themselves from Mother England. He, that is King George, has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures, unquote. Oh, standing armies. The colonists had to endure the indignity of a standing army in their midst. All of them, to a man, considered themselves good subjects of the British crown, our colonists did. Why, then, the need for a permanent, ever-present army of foreign redcoats? Oh, it couldn't be for self-defense. No, the colonists themselves had for centuries raised their own militias to defend themselves against the Indians and then the French. The British were absent without leave when it came to defending the colonies then. The presence, then, of these surly, arrogant, abusive armies could only be for one reason, right? To keep the colonists in subjection. It was an act of tyranny to maintain a standing army in the colonies. Jefferson and the colonists chafed at this unnecessary measure. While the necessities of our modern world may dictate the need for a permanent standing army, in our country there are several features of this that match up with the abuses our founding fathers suffered. And let me articulate those a little bit for you, some of those abuses. One of them is, he, that is King George, has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power, unquote. That is one of the reasons the colonists separated from England. Since the days of the decadent latter Roman Empire, when the Praetorian Guard effectively ruled Rome, tyranny is invariably recognized when the military is independent of and superior to the civil power, as Jefferson puts it. Armies are mobilized to defend the people against an external enemy. Armies are not mobilized to oppress the people by an internal elite, as is being done here in America, even today. This is precisely what the British Army did to the colonists and what the deep state is doing to us. They were an authority unto themselves, the army, untethered from the local colonial legislatures. And for this reason, our Constitution wisely provides for the elected civilian president to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. That way, he is accountable to the people. The military power is subject to the civilian power, and the civilian power always up to the vote of the electorate. The president is therefore ultimately accountable to the people for decisions he makes about war and peace. And just as Lyndon Baines Johnson left office in disgrace over the unpopular Vietnam War, which he vigorously pursued, so all American presidents are accountable to the people for their conduct in military matters. But this aim has been frustrated by what President Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. That was his term, but it is still, even today, the essence of the deep state. The military-industrial complex is the essence of the deep state. It was his name for it, taking shape even so soon after World War II. If Eisenhower were alive today, he too would call what has grown from a baby calamari into a monstrous giant squid. That is the deep state. So make no mistake, dear listener. The vast military, the limitless bureaucracy, the unaccountable, nameless, faceless trolls in Washington, D.C., the bloated industry that supplies our military with beans, bullets, and bombs, all of this has morphed over the last two centuries to become an independent, unaccountable entity unto itself, the deep state. Jefferson and the founding fathers would have recognized it immediately with the British Army of their day. But the collusion then does not end there, does it? The collusion does not end there. Because we also read, and this is another article of why the colonists separated themselves from the mother country, England, from king and parliament. That is, he has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. That is, in this article, we see that the founding fathers properly identified King George III conspiring with the British Parliament to oppress the American colonies. And these were some of the particulars of the Parliament then conspiring with King George. That is, he has quartered large bodies of armed troops among us. Quartering large bodies of troops among us. This is one of the things that caused the colonists to separate then from England. The colonists had these standing armies in amongst them. Not quartered in bases, though. Far, far away. No, they were not quartered in bases. The insufferable indignities of these quarterings are difficult for us to imagine today. But the troops dwelt and stayed in the homes of the colonists. Not only were the individual colonists then expected to support the foreign British soldiers at their own expense, feeding and housing them, but also then put up with the surly, rude, crude, and offensive attitudes and behaviors of these belligerent hostiles. Yes, the British Army was not friendly to the colonists, and yet the colonists had to put them up in their own homes. This policy also served, however, the dual role of keeping a watchful eye on the colonists and control any rebellious attitude that might develop, right, in the particular household in which the soldiers dwelt. It was not unknown either to have them seize property and rape or molest the wives and daughters of their hosts. This issue was always near the top of the list of colonists' grievances. It is the third liberty listed in the Bill of Rights, for that matter. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but any manner to be prescribed by law. That is indeed the third liberty of the Bill of Rights. But it also led, this condition also led to an even more egregious abuse of that power than that enraged the colonists. For protecting them, the complaint goes, for protecting them, that is, the troops, by a mock trial, protecting them from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, right? There developed then in the colonists, in the colonies, amongst the colonists, a virtual two-tiered system of justice. One level of justice for the general mass of the colony, and one level for just us. Justice for just us. Dear listener, to endure crude and coarse insults and demeanors of malevolent soldiers was one thing. But what were the colonists to do when these same crude Brits stole the silver, molested your wife, and raped your daughter? What recourse was there? They were immune, these soldiers, from the colonial courts. The martial law courts of the British Army routinely exonerated these interlopers, and they went free to continue their predatory behavior unchecked. The same could be said for any bureaucrat of the British Crown who served in the colonies. They were of a class apart from the common rabble of colonists, a two-tiered system. The quartered soldiers were only the most egregious and ubiquitous examples. Any crimes committed by the functionaries of the Crown, they were tried in England, if it was tried at all. Oh, isn't it so gladsome that things aren't that way anymore? That there's a two-tiered system of justice, one for the average American, strict and exact and weighted in favor of the deep state, and one for the privileged few, that is the bureaucrats and the political elite of the deep state. Oh, wait, come to think of it, there is a two-tiered system of justice, if we're honest with ourselves about the last few decades of American history. Of course, there's the glaring example of Hillary Clinton, whose abuse of her security clearance revealed by the disclosure of over 33,000 emails makes her worthy of wearing prison orange for the rest of her life. Oh, the entire cast of clandestine sewer rats who surrounded her exoneration, like FBI Director James Comey or Andrew McCabe, and who executed the treasonous backup plan to frame Donald Trump for Russian collusion, so-called, and that would be Peter Stroke and Lisa Page, and Rod Rosenstein or Robert Mueller, all of them, they are walking away scot-free. Two-tiered system of justice in America. They should all be given swift trials and shot at dawn the next day for treason, as far as I'm concerned. But no, they are all certified members of the deep state, paid off and privileged, and consequently, they suffer no consequences. Oh, dear listener, examples of the strict justice for thee but not for me syndrome could be multiplied ad nauseum. Sleepy Joe Biden and his ne'er-do-well son Hunter, and the Burisma scandal in the Ukraine, or Senator Dianne Feinstein, who harbored a spy on her staff for the Chinese Politburo for 20 years, in exchange, however, for lucrative business deals in China. All of these and much, much more demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that the two-tiered system of justice present at the time of the Declaration of Independence has resurrected its ugly corpse like a zombie of tyranny, which is guaranteed to return when a people takes its liberties for granted, even as we have in our own day and age. The deep state indeed has been resurrected like a zombie of tyranny because we have fallen asleep. It is time to wake up, America, to the tyranny being imposed upon you. The British Crown and Parliament embodied the corpse of tyranny in our Founding Fathers' Day, and the deep state does so for us today. It is time that we withdraw our consent to be governed by them, even as our Founding Fathers did. It is time, dear listener, to withdraw our consent to being governed by the deep state. And then, in addition, we see another complaint, the next complaint then, in the Declaration of Independence for cutting off our ties with England and with King George, and why we should also cut off our ties with the deep state. Wow. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. Indeed, they tried to restrict the trade of the ambitious Americans with other foreign countries and restrict it to the low prices of England instead. Controlling trade. That's always been an act of tyranny, and it's being done by the deep state today. Well, the colonists who were free and industrious and ambitious and energetic and enterprising, they were competing across the world with the economy of Great Britain, and they were doing pretty well. Trade with Spain, the colonies, but especially France, flourished at the expense of Britain. And in an effort to curtail and control these upstart capitalists, the Crown and Parliament established restrictive trade rules on the Americans. Heavy duties on rum, cotton, manufactured goods made our goods more expensive. embargoes on trade with certain regions meant our goods couldn't gain access to these markets. On and on the manipulative controls went. Our economy suffered, having one arm tied behind its back in the wrestling match of international trade. And understandably, the founders wanted the kind of liberty to trade which British merchants and businessmen had. And that's precisely the situation in the United States that we have faced for so long in the deep state's effort to make our trade policy subordinate to the interest of a global elite. I've covered this briefly in past broadcasts. And President Trump has ripped the mask off of this monster by renegotiating so many disadvantageous trade agreements that were signed by his predecessors. That giant sucking sound of jobs and manufacturing plants leaving our shores for places like Mexico and China became a reality under unfair trade deals like NAFTA and many deals with China. We were told we'd be prosperously integrated into a global economy and that everyone would benefit. But of course, time told the tale, and we discovered quickly that everything from wheat to widgets were either made or grown somewhere else or made so cheaply elsewhere that we could no longer compete. The creative genius of American innovation was stolen by the Chinese as our intellectual property became a hostage to entering their markets. And on we could go. But suffice it to say that the deep state, just as England tried to control the colonial trade, as now the deep state in America today is trying to control our trade as well. And this is very evident, isn't it? Well, dear listener, we have established further reasons why, even as the Declaration of Independence said the colonists could do so, it establishes that we can do as well, declare our independence from the United Deep States of America today. This has been Pastor David Bass at New Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet for holy worship on Sunday. Come and join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 101 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Boulevard. And you can call us for further information, some comment, or some feedback at area code 208-523-0196. 208-523-0196.